Even among the new people, there are different classes. Those who were formerly students or involved in professions such as civil service, medicine, art, or teaching are considered morally corrupt. Then it's the ethnic Vietnamese, Chinese, and other minority groups who are considered racially corrupt. When asked about jobs in their former lives, the new people lie and claim to be poor peasants like Pa did, or small shopkeepers. In the Khmer Rouge agrarian society, only good workers are valuable. All others are expendable. Thus, the new people must work extremely hard to prove they are worth more alive than dead. Pa says because we are different, Chinese, Cambodian, we will have to work harder than the others. After the chief issues us our meal bowls and spoons and assigns us our hut, we have only minutes to settle down before the 6 p.m. bell rings, signaling mealtime. Gripping my wooden bowl and spoon, I run with my family to the communal kitchen. The kitchen is nothing but a long table with no chairs or benches and under a thatched roof with no walls. In the middle of the open hall, there are a few brick ovens and one long table but no chairs or benches. On the long table sit two pots, one full of rice and the other salted grilled fish. There are 6 or 7 base women stirring and scooping food from the pots. A long line of new people has already formed around the table. Like us, they have all changed from their city clothing into their black pajama pants and shirts, the only clothes we will wear from now on. My heart lurches as I see the long line in front of me. Eyeing the many black pots filled with steamy food on the ground, I tell my stomach to be calm. The line moves quickly and silently. Under my breath, I count the heads before me, eliminating them one by one, anxiously waiting for my turn. Finally, it is Ma's turn. She puts Gek down and holds up two bowls. She bends her head and shoulders so she is lower than the cook and quietly says, "Please, comrade, one for me and one for my 3-year-old daughter." The woman looks down blankly at Gek, who barely reaches Ma's thigh, and puts 2 scoops of rice and 2 fish into Ma's bowl and 1 of each in Gek's bowl. Ma lowers her head and thanks the woman and walks away with her food, Gek trailing behind her. My stomach growls loudly as I step up to the table. I cannot see into the pot, and my mouth salivates at the smell of the rice and fish. I raise my bowl to my eye level to make it easier for the comrade to serve me. I dare not look up at her, afraid she might become angry with me for staring and not give me my food. Eyes focused on my bowl, I see her hand dump some rice in my bowl and drop a whole fish on top of it. Somehow I manage to whisper, "Thank you, comrade," and walk away, praying that I won't fall and spill my food. Sitting in the shade underneath a tree, our family eats the food together. Though it is the most food we have eaten in a long time, before nightfall we are all hungry again. Realizing we have to find a way to get more food, Pa somehow arranges for Keem to work at the chief's house as his errand boy. The next night, Keem comes home with leftovers.